Let me take a deep breath before we record. I think about it too much now. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And I'm Carly Duke, and I'm here with Chris Roby.
Hey guys.
Hey, and so we are today going to talk about school life.
School life, my favorite time.
Exactly, because let's be real, school is almost over. We're heading into summer.
And so, Carly, I'm a little older than you. Do you have a really ready recollection of your time in middle school and high school?
Oh, geez. I definitely enjoyed high school more than middle school. Middle school was awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I remember more from high school than middle school.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But it all was time that I don't know that I would want to go back and live again.
Oh, no, definitely not.
No.
There were fun pieces. I would do college again. I would not do middle school or high school again.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say probably halfway through junior on through senior, I'm okay with. But the rest of it.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Forget it.
Exactly. So if you're listening, take a moment as we start talking about school life. What was middle school and high school like for you? Do you have any awkward stories? Put yourself back in that awkward, pimply, learning how to drive.
Carly, they might be driving right now getting tears in their eyes. So just be so careful sorry. Here. Yeah. Yeah.
You're exactly right. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm bringing back awful memories. That's not how we want to start this podcast.
No.
But we do want you to remember what that was like. And just think about the stressors that come in those years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're trying to balance grades, but you're also balancing things outside of that. And what is so important, what we found with teen life is if our students aren't healthy outside of school, they're not going to succeed and do as well in school either.
Right. And one of the things we talk about too in our groups is just the amount of time that is either spent at school or with school related activities. And it's a big chunk of time during the school mm-hmm. year. It's really all of life outside of going home and sleeping for a lot of these students. And so what would it look like just to make it a little bit better, right? If you're gonna spend that much time doing something, let's think about ways that school can be better. And we as helpers have a big role in that.
Exactly. And so today we want to talk through especially some resources for teenagers. So whether you're a parent or just a helper, or maybe you work for the school and you already know this, but we just want to reiterate that your school campuses have resources for teenagers. They are there to help. I think, unfortunately, some of our school counselors get a bad rap,
mm-hmm.
especially from teenagers. They don't want to go because that means they're in trouble, or that means they are really struggling and that's embarrassing to go talk to them. But your school counselors or even teachers are a great resource.
And just a big shout out to our school counselors. Our school counselors have the pulse of what's going on a campus, and they also know where to direct students. And so if you are a parent and you're not really sure, okay, if my student is struggling in this certain area or they need extra help, that's probably your best bet on any school campus is that school counselor, because if they don't know, they're gonna know who to ask. And that's why they are there on that campus, not only to provide access to resources, but for that social emotional help. If your student is struggling emotionally or needing help making decisions, making choices, that's why those school counselors are there. So we really encourage you to reach out to the school counselors.
Right. And I'm going to put some resources on our webpage. So check that out if you're curious about this. But I found some sources that actually talk about the emotional health of teenagers and okay. how it impacts school. So I'm not going to go into details. Like I said, please go to teenlifepodcast.com and find this episode if you want to learn more. But usually, emotionally healthy teenagers, they have better attendance.
Hmm.
They make better grades. They're also more likely to graduate.
Really?
Really. And as you've done groups on school campuses, Chris, do you feel like any of this is true? Just anecdotally?
Absolutely. So we talk to teachers a lot. So when we do support groups on campuses, one of the unique ways we do that is we pull kids out of class mm-hmm. to do a group, which sounds really counterintuitive. But what we hear back from teachers is after a student spends 45 minutes in a support group talking about what's going on with their life, being heard by a trusted adult, knowing that they have other students that are their age, their peers who support them, who understand what they're going through in some level, they go back to class in an emotionally better place. And so students will come back smiling and ready to re-engage in a way that they weren't when they left. And so that tells us a lot about the power of connection in our groups, and not just only in our groups, but just the fact that if a student feels emotionally safe, they're much more likely to learn and to engage. And so if you've taken basic psychology, you've heard of that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And that base layer is all of those really basic things, you know, your food, your water, your shelter, all that kind of stuff. And we would lump in emotional safety as that base of being able to do anything that's much higher functioning than just breathing, right? And so, as you know, a lot of kids, when they come to school, they come with all the baggage. But if they are able to find a way to connect and feel safe, they're much more likely, like Carly said, to do better in school with grades, better attendance, and more likely to graduate.
Exactly. So let's think through and talk through what are some ways that we can help teenagers have better experiences at school. Obviously, that is in the hands of the teenager, but there are some questions we can ask or some tools that we can give them to help that. And I think one of the things that I do when I meet with teenagers in schools is, like you said, get them to realize how much time they spend at school. Mm-hmm. And having that mental shift of a lot of teenagers think of school as this is something to get through. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put much time into it because I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But when you kind of categorize that as you spend a lot of time here. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to make it worth it. It's important to make it fun. It's important to make it a place you want to be, because otherwise you're wasting a lot of your time. I mean, a lot of time.
Right, right. I think too, helping students understand what they can and can't control mm-hmm. at school is really important. If you talk to most teenagers, they would say, adults just kind of tell me what to do and I'm kind of going by their agenda. And so it feels very much out of their control, but I don't have a whole lot of agency in my school day. I've got my schedule and I go where I'm told and I get home. That's kind of a crummy way to live, just in mm-hmm. any kind of situation where you're just kind of an autopilot, kind of disengaged. And we want so much better for our students. So one really easy way is to, you know, make a list of the things that they feel like they can control and even just circle one or two things to focus on for that day. And so in one of our groups, what we do is we have them list out what are two or three, maybe four things that you could do that are in your power that would make life better at school. And so oftentimes it doesn't have a whole lot to do with school. Sometimes it's, I need to get more sleep. Mm. Right. Or maybe I need to get a good meal before I go into school, or maybe I need to ask for help, or maybe I just need to do my homework when I get home before I start playing video games. It's always so simple and doesn't take a lot of effort, but it's identifying what that thing is. And what we typically do is we don't want a kid to have to try 15 new things, but try one thing and see how it works for them.
Mm-hmm. And I think finally, we talk about connection all the time. Mm-hmm. You're going to continue to hear us talk about it. So buckle up. Mm-hmm. But ask your student, who are they connected to at school? Ask about their friends at school and make sure that they have people. Who do you sit with at lunch? Mm-hmm. In a class, if you had to be in a group, who would you pick? Do you have a friend that you'd pick? Ask, do you have a teacher or a counselor that you trust? If something happened at school, what adult would you go to? Be sure you're asking those questions, because not only do you get them to think about that, but then you also know if something's happening, that they do have someone that they can go to for help. And that's really important.
I think too, also helping a student understand, you know, school is, and this sounds so old man, I guess it really is. The school is that microcosm of life. It is, I mean, you're going to have to get up to go to your job and you're going to have tasks and you have things that you're responsible for. And school is such a safe place to be able to work that stuff out, where you're able to go and know what you have to do. And you kind of have some good measurables to know if you're being successful or not. But helping a student understand, you know, this, if we can frame this into something we get to do and not have to do, especially like you said, Carly, with all the time we have to spend, life could be so much better. Mm-hmm. If it's framed in that way, that there's some significant opportunities for me here. And I think we have an opportunity to help students find that.
Hey guys, it's finally here. It is Summit Week. For May 11th and 12th, we are releasing our summit. And on May 12th at noon Central Time, we are going to do a live session with Dr. Michelle Borba, who you actually heard last week on the podcast. So it's not too late to sign up. If you go to teenlife.ngo/summit, you can still sign up for Summit. Depending on when you're listening to this, we are giving you access when you buy the Summit to all of the sessions until August 10th. And so it's not too late. You can use the discount code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20 for $20 off your ticket. So go now and sign up for Summit at teenlife.ngo/summit. We can't wait to see you there. Now for our trend this week, I'm ready. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm excited about this one.
We are talking about memes.
Just for the audience to know, I advocated for this to be an entire podcast episode because this is so baffling to me. And so don't be surprised at some point we come back and we're like, Chris gets his episode, because I hope we in these few minutes can actually solve this problem.
Well, I don't know. We probably can't, because to start, the definition of meme is the most general definition I think I've ever heard.
It really is. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please do.
All right. Definition of meme: it's a noun, an idea, behavior, style, or usage that spreads from person to person within a culture.
I mean, that could be anything.
That sounds like a disease. Or, two, an amusing or interesting item, such as a captioned picture or video, or genre of items that is spread widely online, especially through social media. I almost fell asleep reading that definition.
Well, it's kind of long, but like, yeah. I said, it's general. That could be a picture. It could be a video. It could be a TikTok. It could be a GIF. It could be a song. It could be anything, basically, that is spread and shared widely through social media.
Yeah. And so when someone says meme, I know in my early days of understanding this, I would always think it's a picture until someone sent me a GIF and said, that's a meme. Or if it's a, I don't know, like it could be so many different things, but it's good to know that it's not just a picture.
Exactly. But when we think of memes, what are some of your favorite memes, Chris?
Grumpy Cat's a big one. Disaster Girl's one.
Love it.
Yeah. Trying to think of some other ones. What are some of yours?
I'm trying to think how old I was when this was. I don't really want to date myself, so maybe I won't say. But the Irma Gerd girl was one of my favorites. Uh-huh. We just laughed about that all the time. I also think Distracted Boyfriend was a funny one. And you can do so many things to that. We'll link all these, by the way. If you're listening to us going, I have no idea what Grumpy Cat is, we will put up examples. You can also follow us on social media and we will put these in our story and put them out for you.
I will say the Distracted Boyfriend one, I knew what it was, but I didn't know that's what it was called. So know that some of these you might have actually seen them, but you don't know what the actual title
is. Exactly. Like that one in Success Kid is another one. I didn't know it was called that. And then when I was looking at memes as I was doing research, I was like, oh, they call that Success Kid. That's the little kid who's doing like, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Face.
And they're some of these are old enough now that they're being recreated by the original people who were in the picture. So some of these have been around a while. They've just been recycled over and over and over again.
Well, and speaking of that, I still am on TikTok. I'm calling it research for the podcast. You're welcome, everyone, for continuing to watch TikTok videos. But when I was in high school, the Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife, do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Song was really big. And today on TikTok, that guy like recreated it for TikTok.
Wow.
Like he's back on. He had his outfit on that was the same one he wore in the original video. And that one started as a newscast. It went to a song. Then it went to a meme. And it's continuing to be reproduced today.
So wait a second, Carly. So are you telling me that Double Rainbow is a meme?
I suppose so.
I guess it is. Yeah. So
I think by the definition, it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be a meme. Okay. We're learning as we go here, guys.
Exactly. But I think if you're listening and you're still like, I don't know what these memes are, one you probably, hopefully, definitely heard of was the Bernie meme. Bernie in his mittens at the inauguration just blew up. And I cannot even tell you, just I sat and looked. I don't know why. I could not get enough of the Bernie memes. They put him in everything. And sorry, just...
Well, I think
it makes me giggle.
Well, I mean, it was just pure joy, you it know. Was. It really, yeah. It's just like, and I think it came after such a politically and emotionally heavy year. Mm-hmm. Something I think the timing of it was just like, let's go with this because it's this absurdity. And if you've heard Bernie Sanders talk or seen him, like he doesn't have a lot of humor in him, anyways. And so it really kind of juxtaposes this kind of crusty old guy with this really crazy situations. I thought that was one of my favorite ones too.
It really was. And please share if you have any good memes that you love. Please find us on social media or podcast@teenlife. What is our podcast email? Now that I said that, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, podcast@teenlife.ngo.
Perfect. So
I said that really confidently, so it has to be true.
It is now. So email us your favorite meme. We'll share them on social media, podcast@teenlife.ngo. But I just had so many Bernie memes. At one point on Instagram, I put out there like, hey, send me your favorite Bernie meme because I want to laugh. And I've never had a post be interacted with more.
Really?
People sent me so many Bernie memes because everyone loved it. It didn't matter what you believed politically in the year where there was a lot of fear and a lot of just polarization. Man, Bernie brought everyone mm-hmm. together and it was a good time.
Now you want to talk about a meme that went to the extreme.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Is Doge.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. So I don't actually know the meme side of Doge. I just know what it became. Can you talk about the meme side of it, kind of what it was? Or
I'm probably not an expert on Doge, but I do know that Dogecoin started from the Doge meme. Like that dog was a meme.
Yeah.
And that's just how it started. And mm-hmm. so... I mean,
and now it's a cryptocurrency.
It is. And it is making a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can see the power and impact that these memes have culturally and now financially, mm-hmm. where people can take this kind of joke and make it into a cryptocurrency and make money off of it. And now, you know, it's all those things. So if you are following along and your brain's hurting a little bit right now, it's because it's a cultural phenomenon that really brings people together talking about those one things. This is kind of in place of, you know, everyone watching the same TV show one night, or, you know, like back in the old days when broadcast TV, when there was, you know, the big episode of The Office that everyone talked about the next day. Those things are different now. Now this kind of replaces that a little bit of, this is that cultural thing we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a goofy picture. It's something that people share. And typically, you know, typically it's something that brings people a lot of happiness.
Exactly. And there is actually a card game called What Do You Meme?
Okay.
And it is similar to, actually, I don't really know what to compare it to, like an apples to apples type where you put a picture up and then everyone uses their cards to caption what that meme would say.
Okay.
And then there's a judge and someone picks the funniest one. It is a really funny game if you need a game for your family. But just even the fact that memes have become so big that there is a card game for it, that it is all about the meme.
Absolutely.
And so especially with social media now and TikTok, and now that like iPhone, you can send GIFs directly in messages. That's not a new thing, but I'm just saying they are continuing to hold up and make memes a really big deal.
Before we get off this topic, actually, I have something, a confession to make.
Oh, no.
I'm on TikTok.
Chris!
Yes.
Way to go!
So you will not find any TikToks of me, but I interact with TikTok like I do Twitter. And I just watch and read and try to absorb the insanity that's in front of me.
If you haven't gotten on TikTok because you listened to our very first episode, go back and find it. If you didn't, there are many memes to be found.
Many memes, right. And so I'm sure in a few weeks, I'll report back all the memes I've seen, all the things I've learned. But because of episode one of the Teen Life podcast, I am now watching TikTok.
I'm glad that I could just bring you into the
I wouldn't say place. I'm better for it, Carly.
It can be a time waste. For
I have
sure.
wasted a little bit of time. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, let's get into our tip for the week. And this week we want to talk about something called the miracle question. And this is something that Teen Life has used in our training. We use it in our groups. We tell other adults about it. But what's so interesting before we explain it is this was actually used recently and the Falcon and Winter Soldier Disney Plus show.
Yeah, I heard that. That's I haven't watched that show yet, but it's interesting. It's making its way into mainstream culture, pop culture, zeitgeist.
Exactly. And so in that episode, I can't remember which episode it was, but the two main characters are seeing a psychologist, a therapist, and she actually asks them the miracle question and has them answer. And as I was watching, I was like, hey, I know the miracle question. I felt really smart. I felt like I was in the know. So we want to bring you up to speed too on the miracle question.
And before we go into the miracle question, though, it's a tool to get people to think, to reflect. And it was born out of the arm of counseling that Teen Life kind of works through. And it's called solution-focused brief therapy. And it's all out of the cognitive behavioral theory tree. And to not get too deep in the weeds on that, this is something that we train our facilitators to use as a tool, as something that you can use to get conversation going. And sometimes more than anything, get someone unstuck. Mm-hmm. If they really feel like they're really struggling to move forward with anything, this is a great question to ask. So you want to tell us what that question is, Carly?
Right. So the miracle question would be, if you're talking to a teenager who feels stuck or just really isn't sure where to go, it could be, let's say you wake up tomorrow morning, everything's perfect. All of your troubles are gone. Your worries are gone. And honestly, before I say this last part, this can be asked multiple ways. I've heard it asked multiple ways, but one way to ask it would be, so you wake up in the morning, everything is better. What is the first thing you notice?
Mm-hmm. You can say it, a miracle happened and all your problems are solved.
Yes.
It's another way you can ask it. It'll catch them off guard a little bit. At least in my experience, when I've asked this question, and I'm not going to say this is what will happen with you when you talk to teenagers, but oftentimes they'll say, not much has changed. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reflection of them being stuck. It's a reflection of life isn't as bad as I thought it was a lot of times. Cool. And the people in my life are good, are helpful. I'm just struggling with a few things. And so it can be a very revealing thing because, you know, let's just say they're in a fight with their dad about something. Would they want to wake up tomorrow and their dad be out of their life? No, that's not what I want. I want things to be better with my dad. Mm. Oh, okay. Well, then we have somewhere to go on, right? Something to work on. And so it forces that perspective that, in my little world, things can be very amplified, and the miracle question kind of exposes that.
Right. But like we said, it's a really good place if a teenager's stuck and they're really not sure. Give them the miracle question. If a miracle happened, what's the first thing you notice? Or what would you want to be different? Or maybe who notices? Mm-hmm. If you had no problems in your life, who would notice?
Hmm.
What person would walk up and be like, man, you look different today?
Yeah.
And so you can ask a few questions out of that miracle question, but that's a good place to go, or even a good place to start with teenagers.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.